Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight in the Word of God. As we enter into a new series of messages on the restoration of broken relationships, this series is meant to be very practical. And for the most part, we will be going through passages and looking at it from an expository standpoint. There are a number of messages that I already have laid out, been working on this series for months. And each message basically is going to be based out of one passage of Scripture, though tonight will be a little bit different. The key or the kickoff message, I guess I should say, will be taken from two passages of Scripture. By the way, we would typically call, when you're taking and developing a sermon from one passage of Scripture, it's typically would be called an expository message. And what you're doing is taking that passage and expositing it, digging truths out of it and explaining those truths directly from that passage. And the passages that I have chosen for this series will be doing that throughout. But tonight, to get it started, I decided to take two key passages, and put them into one message, and I'll be addressing that tonight. The premise that I'm working from really tonight is this idea: in order to restore a broken relationship, I'll talk about what that means in just a moment, you need the Word of God, and you need to do it based upon the Word of God. I'll mention in the very end books that can be written and so forth, and there are great books that are out there, but there's no book that you need more than the Word of God, or you should look at before you look at the Word of God. And we will notice that specifically in the second point of the message. Also, when I talk about broken relationships, really every relationship is broken at some point. I am not talking about a relationship that is broken beyond repair. Sometimes you destroy something. You accidentally even just knock it off the table and it breaks into, we would say, a broke into 1,000 pieces. And you begin to look at it and think, there is no way you can put that piece of plate or pottery or whatever it is back together again. Other times you break something and you go, oh, this is repairable. It only comes apart in two or three places, a little bit of crazy glue, and it'll be back at least looking good and functional again. And what I'm talking about when I talk about broken relationships is really any relationship that we are in that gets taken by the fact of one sinning against the other. We're not going to deal with that intrinsically tonight, but one sinning against the other, and it needs to be restored and to be made right. And so I want to look at two passages tonight. The first is going to be in from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul, the author here, is writing to Timothy, who is now a preacher of the Word of God, has been for approximately 14 years, I believe now, has been shepherding the flock of the church of Ephesus, and Paul is writing just before his decease. The second one that I'll be reading from will be from Peter. And again, it's from 2 Peter, and he is again writing just before he passes away. So I find it very interesting that both of these men, just before they pass away, say, you need the Word of God. And they are convinced that if I can leave you with one message, it ought to be a message from God's Word, and a message that you need God's Word. And so we're going to be looking at that tonight. The title of my message is The Sufficiency of the Scriptures for Restoring Relationships. Quite a lengthy title, but one indeed that is important. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer at this time. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, and as Carmen has sung, truly the wonder of it all. Think of the great love that you have shown toward us in sending your Son, and the great love that he exhibited for us. He displayed, commended that love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This was manifested before the world. This was testified throughout Scriptures. And Father, we thank you so much for the offering of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. And really, Father, it's based upon that we discuss tonight restoration. You are a God of restoration. You have called us to get involved in the restoration process. If you can forgive each one of us of our sins, we truly are capable, with your help, of forgiving anyone any sins that they have committed against us. Father, break through our hearts and help us to see the need, not so much tonight, but in some of the messages to come, to be of a forgiving spirit and that one that is willing to restore others. So guide the time that we will spend together tonight. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to first of all look at this. The Word of God produces growth. One of the reasons that we need God's Word in our lives is it is intended to produce growth in our lives. If we ultimately want to know what that growth results in, if we grow up, what do we grow to become? And if we would learn from passages like Romans chapter 8 or Ephesians chapter 4, we become, the more we grow, we should become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He is the picture that we are aiming for, not picture as far as we want to have our hair cut like Him and we want to trim our beard like Him and we want to wear our clothes like Him. No, the picture would be the picture of His character. We want to have the character that He has. And Hebrews chapter 1 talks about He is the express image of the person of God, which means it's the word for character, meaning His character. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so when I talk here about the Word of God produces growth, what it's trying to do is to cause us to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So the more we get into the Word of God, it ought to be for the goal of becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible commends us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So look here, beginning in verse number 16, tremendous passage. I mentioned it briefly in a sermon just a few weeks ago, where it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." So this idea, all Scripture, by the way, as you search the Scriptures, you're going to find out that's not just referring to the Old Testament, but the New Testament as well. And I should say it in reverse, it's not just referring to the New Testament, but the Old Testament. You would have some that would say that we are to live based upon the New Testament alone, but that is not true. Predominantly, they would have had at this point the Old Testament to work with. But there are references to referring to the New Testament as considered the Scriptures as well. And there are some people that would really raise their, especially the Jewish nation, would raise their children on the Old Testament alone, forsaking the New Testament. I want you to know when it talks about all Scripture, it's talking about the total canon of Scripture, all 66 books of the Word of God, which we are talking about. They've been given by inspiration of God, been God-breathed. And if we go back, and you can really find out more clearly in the second passage that we are going to, we understand that God spoke to men, and then holy men of God either spoke it and had someone else write it down. I think Paul had done that on several occasions, or they had actually spoken it and written it down themselves. And so God would move these holy men, holy but not perfect, remember that, holy men of God to write down His Word. So all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I looked that up. It very just simply means it's beneficial. It's helpful. It's what's needed. All Scripture is given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. As I went to Bible college, this is the basic premise in which we learn from that. The doctrine is referring to teaching or what is right. For reproof, it's convincing or conviction of regarding what is wrong, and we ought to be searching that out in our lives. Correction, and it says it's for correction. That's really talking about what we're talking about in this series. It's talking about the restoration or reform. It's talking about setting a bone or mending a net. It's how to get right. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6, in verse number 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one." Set the bone, mend the net, correct the relationship, help get them back functioning right in a right relationship with God and a right relationship with one another. And so that restoration is very important. Listen to this verse. You might want to jot down the reference. I found it incredibly helpful this week. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, you don't need to turn there for the sake of time, but it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together." By the way, same word as restoration. I don't want you to have divisions. I don't want there to be schisms among you. But I want you to be perfectly joined together. Those three English words make up the one key thought, the one key idea of restoration. And it goes on to say, in the same mind and in the same judgment. So Paul, as he's writing the church of Corinth, who've been known for their divisions, says, I don't want there to be any divisions. In fact, I want you to be perfectly joined together. And a great cross reference there would be Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 16, every joint supplying that which is needed there. And so for correction, it's that idea of restoring. It's that idea of reforming. It's that idea of making it right, how to get right. And then finally, number 4, for instruction, has the idea of training, has the idea of educating, and it's how to keep it right. The Word of God is profitable. It's going to help you to understand what is right. It's going to help you to understand what is wrong. It's going to help you to understand how to get right. And it's going to help you to understand how to keep right. And so this is so beneficial for us. Then look at verse number 17, where it really rounds it off and brings it to the point that I'm trying to drive home here tonight. That, for this purpose, it's profitable for this purpose, that the man of God, by the way, the mankind of God, so that's referring to men and women alike, but that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And again, the idea of that great verse is this, that it's able to bring every person to spiritual maturity. It's able to round you out, make you a complete Christian. We learn very different things. We learn of virtues. From Peter writes about the Christian virtues, that we should be putting them on. Paul writes to the church of Galatians about the various fruit of the Spirit that ought to be in our lives. And each one of them really comes as part of this, that we might be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. There shouldn't be anything lacking in any one of us as Christians if we faithfully read and faithfully attend to the Word of God. You may go in to the Word of God, you may go into Christianity with a weakness of character because maybe the way your parents raised you, a weakness of personality because of the way, again, you were brought up and you've been nurtured. A weakness just in how you look at things. And again, that may have been because of how you were raised up. But the Word of God says this, that it is for the simple and that it is able to help us all to become wise and understanding how we ought to live the Christian life. And so the Word of God isn't for the educated. It's for every one of us. And it's to help every one of us to become more mature and to help us to grow as Christians. If we don't grow, we're not going to properly restore relationships. We're going to end up trying to fix them by how we were raised, by how our parents did it, by how our grandparents did it, by how we just learned to do it, how it functioned and worked for us. And sometimes it ends up being manipulation. Sometimes it ends up being trying to twist people to get them to do what you want them to do and so forth. We don't want to approach it that way. We want to grow as Christians to become more like Christ. Think about it. What relationships, unresolved relationships, did Christ have before he died? When you think about it, there were none on his side. He had resolved any relationship that he could. And he did his best to live at peace with all men. And so what a perfect example we have. So first of all, the Word of God produces growth. It is trying to give us what is profitable for, again, what's right, what's wrong, how to get right, how to stay right, so that the man of God, every one of us, can be mature, perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. There shouldn't be an area in our lives where we are destined, oh, I'll never get it. I'll never be able to achieve that. I'll never become strong in that area. It does not have to be that way. And God will help you, and we'll explain that throughout this series. And let's look at the second and final point tonight. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is an incredible chapter filled with tremendous information for us as Christians. I'm only going to address four of the verses tonight, but it would be worthy of your complete study, and especially as it kind of builds and leads us to greater understanding of the Scriptures. And in this passage, I've come to this conclusion, and really, in a sense, I'm trying to address both of these expositorily, but the Word of God provides the grace. So the Word of God provides the growth you need, and the Word of God is going to provide the grace that you need. Now, what is grace? Well, I would, if I want to oversimplify it, and I've only done that through studying really the totality of Scriptures along. I haven't looked at every verse on grace, but the concept is this: God will help us. If I can boil it down to one word, grace is God's help. Now we can add things to it. We can talk about God, its undeserving favor, and so forth. We can add other concepts to it. But if I want to just keep it really simple tonight, I'm going to say that grace is God's help. Anytime we need it, in any way we need it, the Bible talks about grace physically to give strength, financially to provide for our needs, and for spiritually to give us, make us strong in the Lord, and so forth. So as I approach this, I'm looking at this. God's Word is going to provide grace for you, the grace that you need. And again, what's that saying? This is the book that you need. Again, I can recommend a number of very good books to help in dealing with your words, to help you in dealing with relationships, whether it be with a mate or with children and so forth. There are great books written. But there is no greater book by no greater author than the Word of God. And I would never encourage you to read another book before you first read this book. And before you first, I don't want to say exhaust it, because we're never going to totally exhaust this book. If I said that, we'd never read any book that is written other than the Word of God. But make sure you at least have spent some good time in this book looking at finding answers here before you turn to someone else's writing. By the way, what I then would determine a good book is one that points you back to the Word of God. It's really distressing to me to read a book that tells me, you know, in order to be a good father, you need to do this, and you need to have a couple cows, and you need to have a pasture, and you need... I don't find that in the Bible. And they give me, you know, 8-10 things that you need to do as a father that aren't even listed in the Bible. Well, I can't even get down what's in the Bible. Why should I add all these other things that aren't in the Bible? It may have worked for them. It may have helped them in parenting their children, but it's not commanded to me by God. And so what I look at is a good book that's going to be helpful in the Christian life. It's one that takes you back to the Bible. It doesn't just give you a bunch of ideas that aren't in the Bible. So do you understand what I'm saying? A good book. By the way, what I recommend for marriage couple is the Ministry of Marriage by Jim Binney. I think it's one of the best books written out there. Called The Ministry of Marriage by Jim Binney. I think I actually put it on your study sheet there. And what I found in that, he bases it all solidly from the Word of God. I don't recommend very many books at all, but that would be a book that I would definitely recommend. So let's get back to the point at hand. Again, Peter is now writing, and he is writing actually to former members of his church. They were at one point in the Church of Jerusalem. The church had been scattered because of persecution in Acts chapter 8. And some of his former congregants, he and James were pastors together, were now scattered out into the wilderness. And they have really been suffering some trials for nearly 20 years, I believe it has been now, and since Peter is writing this second letter to them. And so he is writing to people that he knows fairly well. Of course, now there are children that have come along, grandchildren that may have come along. But he knew the base group of people, and he knew that they were going through a difficult time. And so he picks it up. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How do I get more grace and more peace? I mean, this would be great to have. Well, it's through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's through getting into the Bible. If you want more help and if you want more peace to get through life and the trials that it has, you need to spend more time in God's Word. He says the more knowledge you have of God, the more knowledge that you have of His Son, the more grace and the more peace. In fact, He says you can have it to the point of it being multiplied. Look at what it says in verse number 3 then. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through, again, that same knowledge of Him that hath called you called us to glory and virtue. So He says He's given us everything that we need that pertain to life and godliness. There isn't anything that we don't need, that we need that you aren't going to find in here. I'm sometimes disappointed when I hear people say, boy, I wish God, and sometimes we say it in talk, but sometimes we say it in dogmatic statements. God just didn't give us all everything we need to help us in this area. Well, dear friend, I believe God said He did give us everything we need. And so I'm going to choose to believe God instead of believing you. I choose to believe God has given us everything we need. In fact, look at verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of His divine... You know, if you want more of the nature of God, then you got to get into more of the Word of God. And that's what this study is going to be set up to do in the weeks to come. Now, this coming Sunday night is going to be a communion service. The following Sunday night is when Brother Chuck Hardy will be here. By the way, please don't miss that. What a tremendous opportunity. He is in the halls. I don't know how it is right now, but he is in the halls of Congress and the Senate every week. He is actually, I remember hearing his testimony. I believe Pastor Terry has as well. He is actually in congressmen's offices and praying with them on a regular basis. Many of them born-again Christians are asking Chuck Harding and the others to pray for them in specific areas and specific bills that they are trying to get through. He has had a tremendous impact. We were looking actually at one point of going down and joining them with one of their rallies in Washington. I forget what came up. We weren't able to join them as a church, but I would like to do that at some point. So in 2 weeks, Brother Chuck Harding will be here. Please don't miss that. But then in 3 weeks, we want to get back to this series and to be part of it again. And so what we are going to be looking at is the Word of God and how it's then going to provide what is helpful to deal with restoring broken relationships. Then drop down to verse 19 with me, the last verse I want to address tonight before I close out the service. Again, as Peter's writing, he says, hey, I want to put you in remembrance of some things. You're not going to always have me here. And before my decease, I want to make sure you have some things, and I want to put them in remembrance. I want to put you in remembrance of these things. He goes on to talk about we have a more sure word of prophecy that he's going to talk about here. And what's it more sure of? He says, more sure of my eyewitness account of the transfiguration. He said, there's something more sure than hearing it from me, and I was there. And that's hearing it from God. And so he goes on to, again, impress upon them the sufficiency of the Scripture and say, this is all you need. Some of you maybe get disappointed and say, I don't really have enough money to buy other books. I'd love to get a book by Benny and read that, but Pastor, I really don't have that. I don't have that money. Well, you know what? You don't need that book. It's a good book. I'd recommend it. But you don't need it to have a good marriage. Do you know what book you need? You need the Bible. That's all you need. And what Peter was saying here, there's something better for you than hearing it from me. And that's hearing it from God. And look what he says here in verse number 19. I love this passage. I love talking through it, preaching through it, and so forth. But I'm only going to address this one verse. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, more sure than eyewitness accounts, whereunto ye do well to do what? Take heed. Do you know where the failure is? The failure is not in this book to address it. The failure is in us to obey it. The reason we don't have the grace and peace multiplied is not because we have such a terrible husband or such a terrible wife or such terrible children or such terrible parents. No. It's we aren't living right with the Lord. If we were in obedience, He will give us all the help we need. And He will give you peace on top of that. Even in the midst of a bad relationship. And so I want you to know these two truths tonight from these two passages. Number one, that God's Word will give you the help that you need. And number two, that God's Word will also then give you... Oops, let me go back to my own. I'm going to say it wrong myself. God's Word's going to give you that which produces the growth that you need, and then God's Word's going to give you that which produces the grace that you need. Dear friend, this book is what I want to point you to throughout this upcoming series. And everything that you are going to find a need to restore any type of broken relationship will be found in the Word of God. This is the only book you need. By the way, if you don't have this book, ask us. We'll get you a copy of this book. And we will make sure you have a copy to be able to follow through. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer at this time. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear Christian, we don't, especially during this time, we haven't exercised invitations and so forth. But I'd really like you to consider tonight, just as I close out this service, I'd really like you to resign yourself to this. Man, if the pastor shows us something in the Word of God that I ought to be doing, then I am going to commit myself to doing it. No matter how hard, no matter how much it might be against my personality, it might be against my character, I'm going to say, Lord, if you help me, I'm going to practice that. Throughout this series, I've got two messages on walking in love. I've got messages on walking in the Spirit. I've got messages on bearing fruit, the fruit-bearing Christian. I've got messages from the book of Romans on walking in honesty. Interesting what that is. And that tremendous passage from Romans chapter 13. The second message of walking in love is found in Romans chapter 13. The first is found in 1 Corinthians 13. And the list goes on. Tremendous passages that will help us. 1 Peter chapters 2 and 3. Just fabulous on how we ought to walk, being a blessing to those that are hurting us. And so, dear friend, this is what I'd like you to do tonight as we close out this service. Say, Lord, if you show me something from the Word, I'm going to look into that perfect law of liberty, and I'm going to do all I can with your help to live in obedience to what you show me. It may not change the other person, but I still want it to change me. Dear Father, as we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need change. We like to change the other person first, but Father, may we change first. May we focus on ourselves. May we focus on what we need. I am so thankful that I didn't need to get the people to buy another book in order to follow on and go through this series of messages. They can find every one of these truths right here in your Word. I am so thankful that it is everything we need to provide the growth that we need, or to produce the growth that we need, and to provide the grace that we need. All the help we need can be found in your Word. So I want to stop and just thank you. Thank you for giving us this awesome book that we call the Word of God, your Word. Thank you. Thank you for writing it with us in mind. Father, when you wrote it, you had 21st century Christians in mind. You wrote this book so incredibly well. It spanned all of these centuries. It has spanned millennia. It's helped someone as a first century Christian to know how to live for you, and now a 21st century Christian. Father, sometimes we look into this perfect law of liberty, and I'm going to say it this way, Father, it's like we want to spit it out. We want to point it to how it will help somebody else. Father, I want you to use this study of this series in my life first so that I'll be an example of the believer. And then may every one of us commit to this book so that we can restore broken relationships. Guide us by your grace and the way.